See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us!
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse!
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
Sinuscare. Welcome to the Sinuscare podcast. I am one of your hosts, Matt Speak.
And I am also one of your hosts, Joe Jans.
With us as always is Catherine Horan.
Hello, hello.
We are once again without the super fan.
Mark Free.
We are Mark Free tonight. So we do not have the super fan with us tonight, which is fine because we're gonna have a full house of characters. First up is a return to the show of sorts for Mr. James Andrew Oster, aka Jimmy O, journalist from I completely forget your little intro I used to do. Journalist Eric. From JoeBlow.com.
Extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire. And
yes,
that is
extraordinaire.
James O, Jimmy O, James Oster. You know him as James Andrew Oster if you look on IMDb, not BD. But you know him as Jimmy O if you're reading JoeBlow.com. And you know, and we know him as Jimmy, except for Mark, who seems to be insistent on calling him James.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't get it.
He's very formal.
Yeah, he is very formal about it. Yeah.
Should I call him Marcus?
Sure. Well, you can't call him anything tonight because he's not here. But
you can call him whatever you want.
Well, that's true. Yeah, tonight. You can call him whatever you want tonight. He's not here.
Just don't call him late for dinner.
Yeah. And of course, this time with us for the first time is, in fact, you weren't with us. We didn't do a show last year on Halloween night. Yeah. So for the first time, in fact, this may be his podcasting debut. And that is, he's a coworker of mine. He's a teacher for the Phoenix Academy. We used to work together at Phoenix Academy at in LAUSD at Reseda High School, which is a school for students with emotional disabilities. And he teaches, let me get this right. He teaches history, theater. Is that it? Those two? History, government, basically, right? And theater, right?
Yeah. And PE. So don't forget PE.
And PE, that's right.
Start out the day with a little bit of yoga.
Nice.
I'm actually excited. I've been trying to talk to Mr. Speak to get on the podcast, so I'm so happy that I'm here. And it's a pleasure to work with him all these years.
It has been a pleasure. Yeah. So, and of course, when I found out that he's an actor, I had to get him involved. And we will be joined shortly, hopefully, by Matt Bergenzine, who I also met through work, but he was working as a substitute. He had a day gig as a substitute, and we got to talking, and he said he moved out here to act. And I just happened to be looking for somebody to play the part of Mike in The Decoration, and I was actually going to play it for a while, and I really didn't want to. He just happened to cover for my co-teacher, and one day we got to talking and we hit it off, and I was like, hey, do you want to be in this? And he said, sure. So I gave him the script and the rest was history. And he's great. He's great in it too. He has a really good quality to him. And I thought it was a nice, mixture between Jimmy and him. So, I guess we can, there's not much for us probably to talk about in terms of movies we've seen recently, but maybe Jimmy and Ashish can talk about maybe something recently that they saw that they really love. Jimmy, we'll start with you. Is there anything recently you really love?
I got to see if there's, I've got to check on the embargoes before I say it.
Now, just, I mean, It doesn't have to be something that is brand new, just something that you've liked because you haven't been on the show. So what's something recently in the last couple of months that has really jumped out at you as you love?
The last couple of months? Sure. Hokum was brilliant. Obsession.
Hokum was great.
Everyone loved that. I saw a really cool indie. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about it, but it's really good. It's called Girls Like Girls. Very good film. Very, very sweet. Shockingly sweet and nice. We got the new season of Sugar for Colin Farrell's series coming soon. I talked to him about that today, and he's amazing as usual. So, you know, we got, I watched the entire first season of Sugar, and I'm getting ready for the second season. And it's amazing. So
what is that? What platform is that on?
It's on Apple TV. I highly recommend it. He's ridiculously charismatic. It's about a detective, and there's a big spoiler that I won't spoil, that you figure out at the end of season one, but he's a PI. It's got film noir, it's got a little sci-fi, it's unusual, and really, more importantly, it's really heartfelt and nice, and it's not like gross, it's not like, I don't know, I like it a lot. I mean, I'm a little biased because I like Colin. Good dude, but like he chooses good projects, simple as that.
Yeah, good. So, I'll have to check that out because I think now there's only one episode left of what's it called, Widow's Bay.
That's
on Apple TV Plus or Apple TV. I don't think they do Plus anymore. I think it's just now all just called Apple TV. But yeah, I'll have to look that up. But again, Widow's Bay, if you haven't watched it, is the best thing I think movie or TV that I've seen in quite, you know, all year.
Better than Scream 7.
So anyway, yeah, I highly recommend that. So I'll check out Sugar. How about you, Ashish? Have you seen anything recently that has jumped out at you that you loved?
You know, everyone's talking about Obsession. And I was going in there.
Didn't like it.
I went in there. I'm like, man, I really want to like it. But for me, for some reason, I wanted to get more scared. And the only thing I started to think about was the absurdity of it. And I tried to take out that idea, you know, that kind of suspend the reality and stuff. I mean, I love the acting. I like the concept. I love the shots where the girl at nighttime goes into the dark corner and she comes out, and just the atmosphere of all of that. But for me, I don't know, the absurdity, you know, didn't really do it for me.
That's right, Ashish, because by the time this episode comes out, there's going to be another movie in theaters that I'm sure you would like, which is Evil Dead Burn. You want to be scared. I've never seen it. It hasn't come out yet, but I'm just guaranteeing you want to be scared. Evil Dead Burn's going to be the movie for you.
Oh, cool. Soon,
very, very soon. Because
Hey,
speaking of which, Jimmy, because by the time this program gets published again, this would have been like weeks ago. Did you get to see, selfishly, did you get to see The Furious?
No, I did not. I've heard a lot of good things about it. But yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
And okay. Jimmy, if you get an extra ticket to Evil Dead Burn, let me know.
It's the screening's at 11 a.m. So I don't
know. I'm off work.
After
this week. Okay. What day out. Is it?
I'll find out for you. I'll send you the info. I'll see if I can bring a plus one.
What day would it be? Is it next week or?
It's, I believe it might be next week. I believe
it's next week. The week after that, I'll be in Tahoe, so I won't be able to do it. But if it's next week, let me know, and I'd love to join you for that.
I will find out for sure. Yeah, I'm excited. Man,
if you could just FaceTime me during the whole movie, that'd be great. As long as Matt can bring his phone, we're good.
Yeah, and then Jimmy loses his Prince credentials, and
we don't have to sit next to each other. You know,
that's a good point.
Yeah, that's funny. Is there anything that you saw you did like, Ashish?
You know, just recently I went to my high school reunion, class of 96, and I came back home and I'm like, something showed up in Netflix, like movies from the 90s. So I just looked at The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. And my God, I love the characters. I like that sort. I like that thriller of some intruder in the house. And I enjoyed it. It's a little bit, you know, kind of like,
it's campy,
cringy at times, but, you know, horror movies have come so far from that time. Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Yeah.
But it's still a good fun time. It's a pretty fun movie.
Yeah. Fun movie. Yeah. I like Single White Female better though.
we watched, that movie not too long ago, right, Joe?
The remake?
Yeah, no, Hand That Rocks the Cradle. We watched that for one of our picks, I believe. We could always look on the.
We could always look on IMDb.
Yeah, IMDb.
No, I was going to say I thought it had just been remade. The Hand That mm-hmm. Rocks, or am I confusing it with something
yeah.
else?
Yeah,
isn't that Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
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 yeah.
I know we discussed that.
Okay. We're joined by Matt Bergenzien, who, am I pronouncing your name right? I'm second guessing
it's
myself.
It's actually Bergenzini, but Bergenzine's fine.
Bergenzini. Yeah. Okay. Bergenzini.
I like yeah. it.
Sounds yeah. like an Italian yeah. hamburger.
Hi. It is Italian. What's up, guys?
Italian hamburger.
So we're joined by Matt Bergenzini, and, he plays the character of Mike in The Decoration, and, which is, has been invited to Midsummer Scream Film Festival. And I didn't enter it into a lot of film festivals, but the ones that I did are all going to be announcing their invitations in the next few months. So, most of them are pretty much in the fall, I think. So, hopefully we'll hear from Hollywood Horror Fest. That's always a fun one to do. And so far they've invited us, for both movies. We, Jimmy and I both saw, or no, I guess I didn't see The Foot of the Bed at Hollywood Horror Fest, but you did, right?
I saw it. Yeah. I was there. Yeah. Yeah.
And then on Halloween night, Ashish and I both went to that. I don't know. Did we go? I don't remember if we went the same day, but I think we did. Yeah, we must've cause it only played one time, but yeah, Ashish and I both went to see it there. And then he came for the awards and there were people who remembered him from the movie at the awards. And they were all like, oh, you were so great in that, you know? So yeah, that was fun. So, and then of course we have Matt Bergenzini. So Matt, we've just been talking about, just briefly about any movies recently that we've watched that we really liked. Have you seen anything recently that you love?
I mean, obviously I'm like really loving the resurgence of like OG small budget horror that's like blowing up right now with like Backrooms and Obsession.
Yeah.
Super cool to see. Not horror related, but I Love Boosters was such a fun time. I don't know if you guys have seen that or talked about that. But it's another Boots Riley who did what's it called? Sorry to Bother You.
Thank you for that one.
And it was just like the weirdest, awesome, funny time. It was great.
Huh.
Yeah.
What's I've it called? I Love Boosters.
Love Boosters. Yeah.
Did you see it, Jimmy?
No, I missed it. I haven't seen that much this year. I've been kind of.
I know. I've been a little behind too.
Yeah. So yeah, I think, have you seen Hokum yet?
Oh my gosh, I think Hokum was probably my favorite this year, honestly.
Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was my favorite until I saw Obsession, and Obsession is now my favorite of the year. Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites of recent years. I personally put it up there. I think it's going to be up there with like It Follows and Hereditary and those kinds. I think it's going to be a classic.
Yeah,
it
will. Wait, Matt, over Scream 7?
Jimmy keeps trying to pull this Scream 7 joke. It's not where it's clunk. There's an audible thud every time he tells that joke.
Well, I know. I love it. It's so cool. It's my favorite joke ever.
All right. So
the movie is your favorite joke?
It must be.
Yeah.
That and the Mummy.
The joke. Wait, which Mummy? I like that one.
So I don't know, Catherine and Joe, Sleek you guys, Cronin. you you guys have both watched The Decoration, so I don't know if there's any questions you have for these guys or anything you want to say. Go ahead, Joe.
I have a couple of questions. First off, why Northfield, Minnesota?
Because I'm not sure why I said it in Minnesota, but Northfield, Minnesota, because I used to go to a like a summer camp there when I was growing up.
Sure you did. Sure you did.
So yeah, I'd lie about that. Yeah, I'm a real big shot going to Northfield, Minnesota every summer.
That's a flex, man.
Going to fat camp in Minnesota.
Yeah exactly. But no, I went up there for football camp and other stuff. And so I had an uncle who lived not far away from there. So I don't know, that town always just stuck in my head. And then of course it's also where Jesse James and his gang were busted up by the feds or by the Texas Rangers or somebody broke up the Jesse James gang up there at Northfield and when they were trying to do a bank robbery. So at any rate, that's I was interested in for some reason, and I don't remember why, but for some reason that Minnesota, those voices were in my head when I was writing the script. And so I just said it there.
I only bring it up because I realize you're a little far down the road now for this, but I was surprised. I figured you would have gone Haddonfield on it and made up your own town.
Oh, nah, that would be too on the nose, I guess.
Like but. Shermer, Illinois.
Oh,
love Shermer.
Ashish, I got a question for you. How in the hell did you get those contact lenses in?
What contact lenses? I have, Mr.
He's a demon.
He's a demon.
Fair enough.
Yeah, he is actually a demon. He just pulls out his. No, actually, those weren't contact lenses. That was the magic.
What about editing?
Oh. That was the magic of DaVinci Resolve Studio, where you do a mask. I did it. That's basically just a mask that tracks his movement. It was the biggest pain in the ass. And now after a recent update, it screwed up all the tracking. And so if I do need to, like some film festivals ask you to send them a different, format. And if I have to redo it, I'm going to have to go back and do it again. And that was such a pain in the ass doing that tracking. But basically you just put black in their eyes, it tracks it, and then you add white dots to make it look like it's shiny, and that's really all it is.
Hollywood movie trickery.
Yeah, the trickery.
It's a good
I'm guessing you probably would have been better off just asking Hashish to wear the contacts.
Probably, yeah. But yeah. He has very sensitive eyes, and the makeup itself caused a lot of problems for him. So
I would imagine so.
It was a lot for him. Yes.
It was his eyes were watering through everything. So I don't think the context would have worked with him.
Yeah. Another question inadvertently for the director. Are we going to see a spinoff Kowalski backstory short? Because I really would like to see him walking down the street to everybody else's
making
displays.
Fun of their, hey, you get to decorate this year after they've already put up their whole. Yeah.
There's a Kowalski in every town as someone who puts up their own display. Yeah. We've got ours too. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. 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 Well, maybe, we could just do a kind of a reality show where he walks around insulting people and just see what the reaction is.
I want Kowalski to get his comeuppance.
Okay, yeah, that you too. Know?
I want Kowalski. This could be like the decoration part two, where one decoration from every yard
Kowalski
who gets
Boogaloo?
Made fun of. Yeah, he gets. They all come to life to come to attack
there
and kill,
go.
Rip him apart, or turn him into somebody's decoration.
Oh,
against
not a bad
his will.
Oh, there not a you bad go. Idea. Maybe. Good maybe job. We'll have
welcome.
To do that. Might have to do that this fall.
Well, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Good. I'd have to get access to somebody else's house, I guess. I don't know. The neighbors.
Well, how was it working with a superstar like Nikita?
That was the highlight for me. Honestly.
Yeah.
She was fantastic.
She was lovely. She was like, oh God, I love her. I love that dog. Love that dog.
She loves Jimmy. Like she loves, she liked both of them, but she loves, anytime Jimmy comes over, she loves him. I don't know why, but she loves him.
She had no interest in me. That was interesting.
There's actually, when I was watching it, at least I'm hoping it's your dog, but there's a scene where Mike goes back to the house the next morning, and you're talking about how you're, you know, you miss Jimmy's character. If you look, if you stare at the front door of the house the whole time while Mike's looking at his phone, you can see a figure walk across the room. I'm only assuming it's your dog.
Yeah, it must be. It's got to be. Yeah.
It's very creepy because I thought the house was empty.
That's good.
Yeah. Another decoration.
It's Betty White.
Who's the elf on the shelf? Yeah.
But she did great. Like, you know, we had just adopted her a couple months before that, and she did great. She with all the people around and everything, she loved it. She was right in the middle of everything. So I was like, let's just put her in the movie. Same thing with Rosie. Rosie, you know, was good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
always work with dogs. That's what I've learned. Always work with dogs.
Yes.
The question is now, though, what happened to Nikita in the movie?
Well, in my mind, Mike took her, like adopted her or took her in or something. Yeah.
I would.
So, yeah.
I'm sure she growls every time Kowalski walks by the house.
100%.
Kowalski, dude.
Yeah, that guy.
Fuck.
Yeah. So I guess I can, you know, tell a little bit about what the story is for the audience since they haven't had the pleasure of seeing it.
They have no idea what we're talking about.
Or being in it. Yeah. So basically the story is it's a guy, well, you know, a couple guys that live in Minnesota. They decorate Jimmy's yard, and Jimmy actually plays a character named Jimmy. And they decorate the yard, and one of the decorations is not one of Jimmy's decorations, and he looks at it and sees, hey, what's that doing there? But his buddy can't see the decoration. And at first it's not really a life, like it's not alive. It's just a skeleton with a costume on. And then later it kind of comes to life, but Jimmy is the only one who can see it. And so it's just a short, it's about 10 minutes long, and you know, just kind of a creepy little, and it's more of a horror comedy, I guess. It's a little meant to be on the funny side anyway.
It was nice to do something a little light too. It was nice to have a little humor in there.
Yeah.
Matt, you were great with that. And Ashish, you were just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Matt's accent is hilarious. I had a half a growler, you know, that line always cracks me up.
Talking about why Minnesota or Wisconsin, I can't, was it Minnesota? Yeah.
Minnesota.
Yeah, it was Minnesota. Yeah.
But being up there, I feel like it added so much. I mean, I was reading the script and I was like, this is fun. But then saying it all, you know, with Jimmy, and then seeing Ashish in the costume, it just added another layer of like that world building, you know? So I think those voices were really took it up to the next level. So much fun. Yeah.
How long of a process was this? Just for filming, not writing.
Well, writing wasn't very long either. I think I came up with the idea at the end of the summer and then wrote it pretty quickly. And then Matt, I think you were subbing at the school, sometime in September. And I asked you then. And so I think we shot it over 2 or 3 nights. I had Jimmy come back a couple times to do, like, we added that last part, the phone conversation at the end where Jimmy's looking out the window, and then all of that. We added that, like, and that was mostly improvised. I was just feeding Jimmy ideas, and Jimmy just talked about his memories growing up. But that whole part of it was, I think it was all improvised, right, Jimmy? That wasn't really...
Pretty much, yeah.
I think there was a little bit I think that did the script did end with the phone conversation, but we went on with it more, and you talked about like your dream of having a yard like that and everything. That all just came from Jimmy. And then
you gave me a lot of freedom. I like that.
And then Ashish came back a couple times for a couple reshoots of stuff that just was too dark. But I think we did it all in just a couple weekends. It was a little hectic because our street this last year kicked it up a notch in terms of the amount of people walking up and down the street. You can tell in some of the shots that there's people walking up, because for the audience, if you haven't heard before, the street I live on is a Halloween trick-or-treating destination and decoration destination. And so I do up my yard big time, and mine is probably one of the milder houses on the street. Like the people across the street have this huge setup, and then, you know, people all up and down the street have decorations. So pretty much from the beginning of October until Halloween, there are people driving up and down the street, getting out of their cars, walking up and down the street, and from the whatever time it gets dark until, or even before dark, because it kind of switches earlier in the evenings. It'll be families with their kids, you know, and looking at decorations while it's kind of dusk. But then as it gets dark, there's just lines of cars driving up and down our street and people walking up and down the street. And so trying to film, we shot on a weekend because we couldn't really do it during the week. So trying to shoot on a Friday night, Saturday night, you know, with all those people and everything, we kind of had to wait for cars to pass by or to park or people to, you know, because they would just walk right up to the yard while we're shooting and take photos and be talking and laughing and everything. And, you know, you can't say shut up, you know, it's a close set. But one good thing is the program I use, DaVinci Resolve, has a voice isolation feature, which works really well. So I can isolate people's voices. And then what I have to do is I record the street sound by itself. Like I do about 3 minutes of street sound of people walking up and down the street. And then I add that in afterwards so that you can still hear that atmosphere, but you can actually hear what these guys are saying. And of course there's pauses in my neighborhood. There's also pauses for airplanes flying over too, because we're near an airport.
I feel like it was
more pausey. I felt like way more crowded than we did before with the other two films.
The other two were more in the house, but yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I had so much fun. Like, I love that aspect of having all the people walking by. It was such a fun, like, atmosphere to be in with. I mean, there was a lot of people. I was surprised by that. So there was like a little bit of stage fright going back to like, you know, doing theater and stuff when there was like 40 people walking by. And I mean, all the decorations around, it put me right in the mood. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
Now that actually brings up a good point. Ashish, since you were in costume, did you take advantage of the situation and hide in anybody else's yard and scare anybody?
But I felt so cool. Oh my God. I felt like people were looking at me. They're walking by me. Here I am on set and they're looking at the decoration, and I tried to be scary, but then there's little babies and kids walking around. So I tried to be like smiling and nice to them, you know, because I didn't want to.
But he had people asking to take photos with him and stuff. I think they thought that he was there for the people looking at the houses, you know. I mean, this is like this was like 2 or 3 weeks before Halloween. It's not like it's, you know, the weekend of Halloween either. So, but he, he did play it up for them. It was kind of fun, especially in this.
Yeah, it's been my dream to work at like Universal City, you know, the Hollywood Haunts or whatever. I'm like, man, this is my part-time job. Let me work here, Mr. Speak. I'll come every weekend, put me in costume, and we'll just scare the kids, you know, make some money.
Yeah, really good idea. But that was hard too, because there's a couple shots where we needed, especially the scene where Matt is. At the end, there's a scene where Matt's taking photos of the yard and he's pointed his camera toward the street, and we needed have the street in the background. So we really had to like hurry up and do that while people weren't walking past, you know, But yeah. What else?
How was your staff, your cast, working with them? Awful. Your the behind the scenes people. Most importantly, the assistant to the intern.
Yeah, the assistant to the intern really dropped the ball. Mark Piscati, assistant to the intern, was he wasn't really.
I laughed
very
my
helpful.
Ass off. I just to prove that I watched the entire credits.
Yeah,
I stayed to the end to see the assistant to the intern.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what he got, because if you recall, Joe, I don't know if you remember this or not, but Mark did ditch us for about 11 months last year. And so he came right back to the show right as we were getting ready to shoot this. So I thought, he can't be a producer. He's got to be, he's got to start at the lowest rung again. He'd start all over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mark, get us coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's coffee boy.
But he didn't, you know, and he didn't even come all the way here to for the job from Chicago. You'd think that he would have, but
yeah,
well,
no respect.
Yeah,
you got to find a way to contribute.
Yeah. So, Matt, any? I know you do. You've been pursuing acting anyway, right? Have you? Are you doing any? Or have you been auditioning at all? Or what's work? What's going on in your world? And I think you got a teaching job, right?
Yeah. I'm teaching fourth grade. So that's, yeah, today was the last day of school. So that was,
yes.
I know. And then, I don't know. I mean, what else right now? I'm kind of bopping around the theater scene right now. I was in a production in, in Burbank, and just doing the audition circuit right now. Yeah.
Nice. And, Ashish, any acting gigs on the horizon for you?
So I have been doing improv and I love it. I take classes in East Hollywood and it's like 6 classes. Then we have a show at the end and that's my jam. I just love character building. I just like it. It's level 4 I'm in now. So I went to 1, 2, 3, and 4 and I'm really melding with all the guys there. We all hang out. There's like a Korean guy, you know, Latino guy. I'm the Indian guy. And have fun. And I love it. I really enjoy that. In terms of like acting, I do want to do something. It's always been on my bucket list to get a headshot and do some kind of auditions. I've never done it, but it's never too late, you know? And I think meeting Mr. Speak, it's re-energized me. It's like, you know what, let me just do this. But then also there's so many other people that are looking for actors, you know, who are looking for a bald-headed Indian guy, you know, or a 7-Eleven worker, or, you know, like a crazy face or whatever. You know? I want to be Italian, you know, make me Italian. Forget about it. You put me in there, I'll try to do it.
Yeah, even he told me, he was like, yeah, put me in a movie. I'll be the 7-Eleven Indian guy.
I am hungry for work, and Mr. Speak puts me, man, I am at your command. I'm there.
I'm telling you, Kowalski's comeuppance is going to, you know, it's going to bring him into the theaters.
Okay, yeah, or it's either going to be The Decoration 2 Kowalski Comeuppance or The Decoration 2 Kowalski Kowalski Boogaloo could be.
Yeah.
Jimmy, any new acting gigs for you? I can say one.
There's one, yeah, which I'm really excited about. Mostly I've just been really busy with the Joe Blow. I've been covering doing a lot of interviews, a lot of cover, a lot of that. I've been working with my buddy Chad. You can get his hat for a discount. It's pretty cool. We have a lot of hats. But yeah, no, I'm just excited about our little, what we're working on. I don't know how much we should say. I figure probably very little.
We're working on a new project that Jimmy and I got together talking, you know, about, I guess horror, but a story that is sort of uses horror as a analogy for depression. And so I started writing something and we've shot a few things and it's looking really good, but
looking really good.
It's the new camera I got is the footage is really nice. And so we'll just see where it goes. We're probably going to be working on it over the summer, and it's not, the script isn't finished. We're kind of talking about it as we go and then doing something and then talking about it and doing something. But what we've got so far, I think is pretty, I think it could be pretty special. So, but it's definitely a little more, I don't even know what to say. It's a little more esoteric, maybe, I guess. I don't know.
It's, you know what, I got to say this about Matt, because, you know, I've seen him do these films. I've been a part of these, and he always wants to learn. He's always consistently learning. You know, the people you see that really make it, really do well in this business, are people that want to freaking learn, that they're hungry for that. And he doesn't give himself credit. He's a humble guy, Matt, but like, you learn. You've been really, you're going to be a great director. These are really good films that you're doing. And I like working with you. I like it. It's a really, all of you guys, this has been a great experience. All of them, every single one of them.
Yeah. Thank you. It has been, it's been a lot of fun working with, you know, Matt Bergenzini and Matt Van Winkle, mm-hmm. and Ashisha, obviously. It's just, I've always wanted to do the thing where you get together with friends and make a movie. And I've done it very rarely in my life. And I feel like I've wasted a lot of time.
Now we're not.
and now I'm not. And I did. And I always had, you know, even with the books, I was always like on my mind, like, I want to write this horror series that I have in my head, and I just never did, and I wasted a lot of time. And then finally in 2015, I just sat down and wrote and did it. And ever since then, I've just kind of changed my view on that. And now I've been busier than ever, you know, doing things and not just thinking about doing things. And so it's hard to get over that hump, you know. And I don't say that lightly, like, oh, you just do it. I say it as though, because I had an epiphany and I realize, oh God, I wasted so much time. But also it helps that nowadays it's so much easier to do it than it ever was before. Right. You know, 20 years ago, I couldn't have made movies like these and edited them myself and found, you know, the music, you know, on a stock music site, you know, that goes with it, or sound effects. I couldn't have done it, you know, and the cameras wouldn't have been able to do it, not ones that I could afford, you know. And now, you know, I've got this camera. I upgraded my camera after I shot the decoration. So the one I'm using for the one Jimmy and I are working on right now, which is this movie's titled The Thing With Me. And so that one is really a, you know, it, the footage coming out of it is beautiful. We did some shots hiking in the hills above Burbank, and there's some just beautiful shots in this that I'm like, wow, I did that. it's just never been easier to do it. And I think I've said this before when we've talked about our movies, but that's really the main thing. And so I can't just always be doing something, because the idea has to be there. But once the idea is there, I no longer let the idea go and think, well, sometime I'll do that. I just say I'm doing it now. Yeah. And Jimmy, you're going to do it too. That's usually what I say. But this idea, and I don't know how much you want me to go into this, Jimmy, because I can edit this moment if you want me to, in terms of where the idea came from
talk about it. Yeah, okay. No.
Jimmy and I got together for coffee a while back. I think it was maybe in December or sometime, or maybe it was after it was after the first of the year, maybe March even. I can't remember.
Around March, yeah.
Yeah, it was March, because you had just had that. You went to that party of Colin Farrell's party.
Yes, yes.
And Jimmy, and you know, cut me off if I say too much, but Jimmy has, you know, struggled sometimes with depression, as many of us have. And he was having a tough time at that time. And to the point even where he went to this party of Colin Farrell's, and Colin Farrell was, you know, like, Colin Farrell loves Jimmy and loves his son. But Jimmy really even had a hard time appreciating that at that moment, you know? And so we talked about it and he came up with this idea of horror, do a story that has to do with horror, almost like, you know, a depression, being the horror. And so that's really where it came from, our conversations. And so obviously Jimmy had to play that part, but it, and for him, and it hopefully is a cathartic thing for Jimmy. But that's, you know, it's really written from his point of view.
It's something that I don't think I could have written myself, because I just don't feel comfortable writing about my own darkness, you know? And it's something that I'm much better. Great now. But yeah, it was I think it is ultimately very therapeutical. It's very powerful when you, I guess, face your demons, as it were. You know what I'm saying? And I think that this is, it, you know, it started with Foot of the Bed. I was going through something back then. And now, you know, I've grown so much since then, and have a lot more tattoos. But I'm very pleased with where this one's going. Like, it feels very special to me. It feels very special, very personal.
Well, the best stuff, I think, comes out of stuff that means something to you, that you have that connection to. So
I agree.
Yeah, this sounds like it'll be a really intriguing movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I think what we've got so far is really interesting, and where it's heading, I really like. We also have, it's more ambitious, I think, than the others, because the others were just set at my house, you know, and around my area here, that, you know, and this one where we were up in the hills of Burbank and
4 miles. 4 miles we walked.
We did. We hiked 4 miles up to, because there's an abandoned Boy Scout, camp at the top of, you might be aware of it, Catherine. It's Stowe Canyon. And so we hiked all the way up to that abandoned Boy Scout camp, and there's a ruin of a building, and all there is left is a foundation and then a chimney, a big brick chimney. And it's, you know, it's creepy looking. And so we hiked up there, and then Jimmy sees something. Well, he has a bit of a breakdown, and then he sees something there, and there's a voiceover. But then we're also, Jimmy got us into a restaurant that we're going to use for a scene. So we're branching out as a little more ambitious than what we had before. I don't know where it's going to go from there, but we'll just see. We'll be piecing it together this summer and shooting as we go. And we'll see. And it's going to be I think it's going to unfold a little more organically.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds so cool. Agreed. You know, Matt, you got me really thinking, because you know, you're talking about all the writing and the filmmaking you've done, and I think that's just like a really, like, not to keep gassing you up and giving you compliments, but you know, I think that is such the direction that art is going right now. I mean, like we were talking a little bit about with like the new like horror that we're seeing with like the back rooms and Obsession, is like, it's people that are going out and they're making their own stuff, you know, and especially like as the industry is getting where it's at, you know, those people that are just producing stuff, and you're lucky enough, you and Jimmy both are lucky enough that you're incredibly talented, but like anybody that just like makes their own thing, you know, whether it's good or terrible or somewhere in between, like most of it is, it's uniquely theirs, you know? So I love that you guys are getting to share that story that's unique to Jimmy and you, you know, and me. I mean, it sounds like it's going to relate to a lot of people. So for you guys.
Well, I think a lot of people are going through it. I think the depression right now, the people are struggling. We're in a very weird time. And there's not a lot, especially with men. I think men are given a lot of really bad examples of how to live sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the details, but, you know, I think it's people need, you know, it's like men go to therapy if you need it. Seriously. Yeah. It's like you can't do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you weak. That's silly, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And, but I strongly encourage everybody, you know, just do it. And in fact, Ashish and I were just having this conversation with a friend of his at work. You know, he was saying to me, you know, you inspire me because you just do these things. You just do them. You want to write a book, you just write them. But that's not always been the case. I'm in my 50s now and I'm doing this finally. But I spent a lot of time wasting time, you know, and just not doing the things that I really wanted to do. Some of it, you know, in terms of filmmaking was because I, you know, it back then it wasn't easy to do unless you wanted to, make a movie on a VHS, you know, and it just wasn't the same. Right. But like in terms of writing or, you know, doing books, which I always dreamed of, I just kept putting it off and just not doing it. So at a certain point, I've just decided I'm not going to put things off anymore.
But I like that too, because it just shows that it's never too late. You're never too old to finally just do what you've been wanting to do.
Well, and
you're never too old to bully your friend into starting a podcast.
That's true. Exactly. That's true.
Yeah.
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 Back in 2020, Joe bullied me and I was like, I just don't know about this one, Joe.
I remember that the other way around. It was like you telling Jimmy, hey, you're going to do this. I'm calling Joe and hey, we're going to do this podcast.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir, Mr. Speak.
Joe was ready though. He was ready to do it.
I was ready.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for the technology to be there for us.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. I wish I had, you know, part of me wishes that I was like 20 something right now, because God, I would be tearing it up with stuff, you know, because
but you wouldn't have the life experience to go behind. Well,
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, you wouldn't. Never regret. No regrets.
No, that's true. And if I was in my 20s now, I probably would have done it wrong and been like some cringy, influencer type rather than, you know, what I want to be. So, but Catherine mentions the age too. And that is, but that can become an excuse too. You procrastinate and put things off. And then you all of a sudden are like, well, now I'm too old. Like it was, you know, I should have done that 20, 30 years ago. Right. And you're not ever too old. And so I just love doing it. It's fun. I don't, you know, it would be, I have no aspirations of making this a career, like hoping that somebody sees our stuff and makes, I just love doing it and producing, you know, these works. And if people like them, they like them. And if not, we had a blast doing it, you know, and we did, we had fun. And all of these movies, we had fun doing them. And then going to see them at the film festivals is a blast too. It's just like, it was so fun for me to watch Ashish at the Hollywood Horror Fest last year and having people walk up to him and saying, oh, I saw your movie. You were so good in that. You were really creepy or whatever. And as she, you know, it was just great to see. It was like, made me so proud and happy for, and same for Jimmy the year before, you know, when he got nominated for Best Actor at Chicago Horror Film Festival, those were just, you know, those things were just amazing, you know, and it was just a thrill for me to watch these guys, you know, I enjoy that more than getting anything myself, you know, it's just more fun to see, like, because I had something to do with that, but it's just fun to see that, you know.
Well, you're a storyteller, and I think that's what makes it interesting, and I think that's why we like working with you, because you try and you put your heart and soul into it, and that makes a difference.
Yeah, I mean that's just, I think it's the only way to do it. You gotta just get it out there, and if it's terrible, it's terrible, and then you'll learn something from that, and then hopefully do better the next time. And I think there's been a progression for these movies too. I think each of them has, you know, done something a little different, but I've also learned something each along the way, and so hopefully they just keep getting better and better as I go. And I, you know, and I just learn something each time, and we all do, you know, hopefully we all do. Hopefully everybody, you know, has something they can take away from that. So.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know that I'd even be so hung up on them getting better each time as much as, are you having fun each time?
Well, yeah.
And are you
yeah.
having more fun the next time? You know, we said when we started this podcast 5.5 years ago, we'll keep doing it as long as we're having fun.
Yeah, that's true. But we also have gotten better. You know, like to our those first year podcasts.
We were terrible.
Was terrible. But like we were having a blast and we didn't care, you know. And now it's a lot better. It's tighter and we have our little banter and everything and inside jokes. But it took a while to get
process.
There.
Process. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the fun factor is very interesting because you put it on YouTube, the On Halloween Night, and I just remember having that knife above that guy, and then the YouTube comments, there was one comment that says, that bald-headed Indian guy's having the time of his life. And I was. It's like, man, when are you going to get a knife and have this fake blood and be like this crazy psychotic guy? I just love that, man, having fun.
Actually, but Ashish took me – we had dinner, I think, not this last school year, but the year – maybe it was last fall. If not, it was last – like a year ago, he took me to a Pakistani restaurant. Was it Pakistani?
Yeah. Pakistani. Yeah.
Which Pakistani food is very similar to Indian food. I feel like it's a little oilier maybe, or there's just a slight difference in the spices, but it's kind of the same food. And, but that guy, you know, kind of, he's still stuck in my head as a character.
Yes.
Because that guy, the guy who owns it, it will talk your ear off. And he did. He talked to us forever. And he's kind of crazy, but he's very knowledgeable at the same time. But that there's a character in there somewhere that keeps so you just never know where you're gonna find those things too, you know.
Well, and you know, Ashish, what you're talking about is like that translates onto the screen 100%. Like you having fun. I mean, obviously, because you're getting those comments, but and not only like through the screen, but also like to me, like watching you. Because you were having a blast out there. Jimmy was having a blast. And like seeing you in your costume, hiding behind the window, like it was such a blast. And like that's it too, you know? That's what I want, at least as like an actor and getting to be like a partner with you, you know, and seeing you having that joy. It was such a, you know, that was a blast for sure too. So it translated.
Until his eyes turned red and got swollen and started watering all over the place. Then that was pretty bad. Yeah. All right. Well, anything else? Anything anybody want to plug?
I wish.
No?
So in my reunion at the class of 96, there was one guy that he went to BYU in film department, and then he and three other guys got together and had an idea. That idea became Napoleon Dynamite. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness. And I looked at that and I looked back and I remember talking to him and everything. I mean, it's all it comes with is an idea, you know, and people do it. And who knows if people will receive it or not. If you're having fun, if it's meant to happen that people are seeing and you get other things, that's fine. But I like that idea of creating something, being in a sense you are a god in a sense. That idea comes to life. You see that in real world, which is magical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I forgot he told me that. Yeah, he went to high school with one of the people who created Napoleon Dynamite.
That's crazy. That's so funny. Wow.
Yeah. But that's true. It is that there is a magic to creating something and it, you know, it doesn't always turn out to any, sometimes you'll come up with an idea and it just doesn't go anywhere, but, there is kind of a magic to that. That's a good point. Yeah. All right. Well, it was great having you guys on here. And, any of you listening, the decoration is going to be on YouTube this fall. I'm thinking in late September. We'll put it up in late September. I don't think we'll have any problem with the film festivals that we have. That none of them have specified you can't have it available. You know, the ones that I've submitted to. Some of them will say it shouldn't be available online if it's going to be. If you're submitting here. But the ones, they'll either be done or they don't care one way or the other. So, but if you are in the LA area in August, on August 8th, the decoration will be playing at Midsummer Scream, their film festival in the 4 o'clock time block. And all of the movies in that time block will be Halloween centered. They'll be set at Halloween, just like last year on Halloween night. And there was some fun, even if you're not coming to just see our movie, there's a lot of really good movies in those, in the festivals. So I saw a few that I really enjoyed, and every festival I've been to, I've seen movies I liked. We had the Holly Weird Festival was in this little bar down in North Hollywood. There was hardly anyone there, but we watched a few like really fun. Oh yeah. Ashish, you were there for that one.
Yep.
There were a couple of really interesting, shorts at that thing, including a documentary that was very strange about I think it was a guy who plays basketball on horses or something like that.
Yeah.
And he wound up getting paralyzed, and I couldn't tell if it was real or not. It seemed like it might have been. I don't know. But there's just some interesting, Joe and I at Chicago Horror Film Festival, we saw a ton of just amazing shorts. So if you ever get a chance and you hear that there's a film festival in your area, and it's a horror film festival, especially if it's shorts, go check it out, because you're going to see some stuff that just doesn't get seen. And Joe and I both, there's one movie that we saw at Chicago Horror Film Festival called The Kindness of Strangers, and I still can't stop thinking about that. It's not available anywhere still.
Yeah, I want to know what happened to it.
Yeah, I messaged the director and asked him, are you ever going to release this? Because it is fantastic. The only thing I can think of is that he's been in talks about turning it into a bigger movie or something. I don't know, but I'm like, God, that thing that was just such a great little, really strong short. So anyway, if you get a chance and there's a film festival in your area, go check it out. Speaking of which, the Sugar Mint CineScare Horror Film Festival is going to be playing, on November 7th, in Pasadena, California. And if you haven't heard before, it is going to be at the Sugar Mint Gallery, which is basically in the backyard of the Michael Myers house. And so they will be playing, they have movies they play there all year round in their backyard. And so our film festival is going to be playing there. And it's going to be one night only for the first year. And we are in partnership with Sugar Mint Gallery. And so it's going to be a blast. So if you are a filmmaker, look us up on Film Freeway, Sugar Mint, CineScare, Horror Film Festival, and submit your work. So maybe your movie could be played in the backyard of the Myers house.
Pretty rad.
Yeah, really cool. So, all right. Well, I guess. Oh, no. We do have.
We got housekeeping. Picks.
Yeah, so I think next pick is Mark's, right? Is that right, Joe?
Right. You want me to, I got it right in front of me.
Yeah.
So Mark picked a title called Hands Off. But since he's not here, I may change that. Maybe.
Okay, what would it be?
Mark gets a little handsy.
I think that's perfect.
That's better. That's good.
That is pretty good.
Or Mark finally lends a hand, something along those lines.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
You got to hand it to Mark.
Yeah.
Very good.
Mark gets a handy. So Mark has picked three. Mark has picked three hand-related films. The first one from 1981 is The Hand, starring Michael Caine, directed by Oliver Stone. And that one you can get on Tubi. Then, of course, Idle Hands. From 1999, we're gonna have to rent that one, and then The Crawling Hand from 1963, which is on Tubi and Plex. I'm looking forward to that one. I've always wanted to see it, never got around to it. So,
yeah, the only one of those I've seen is The Hand. I did see that way back in the day. I saw that.
The only one I've seen is Idle Hands.
It was on like a Svengoolie kind of show, the Monster Rally movie out of Chicago. I saw that on there, but yeah. All right. Well, those are your picks. So check those out and we will have a lot of fun with those, I'm sure. So
yeah. And hopefully Mark will be back in 2 weeks so we can talk about him.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Unless he ditches us again for 11 months.
Yeah. Something like that. Mark.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. So we will see you next time.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
See anything you like?
Have you all got amnesia? They just cheated us.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
You got a death curse.
It was a shark.
Little pig, let me come in.
Go a little mad sometimes.
What was living behind that boy's eyes was purely and simply evil.
I'm just gonna bash your brains.
This is a
scare. Yeah, well, no, I look, like, it kept going and going, and I lost interest. I mean, when you get something like that, you're pretty much fucked. And don't tell me that, you know. But God damn it, I love you, Joe.